This is Jan Swift, and you're listening to Discover Lafayette, a podcast dedicated to the people and rich culture of Lafayette, the gateway to South Louisiana. We tape in the offices of Raider, which offers a complete fleet of IT solutions for businesses of all sizes. Raider's motto is, "You just want it to work, we understand." If you're wondering if Raider can help your business, please visit RaiderSolutions.com. I'd also like to thank Iberia Bank for its support. Founded in 1887, Iberia Bank is the largest bank based in Louisiana and is headquartered in Lafayette with 325 combined locations throughout the South. They offer the resources of a national bank with the personal touch of a community bank. Please visit iberiabank.com for more information. And lastly, thank you for the support of Lafayette General Health. As Acadiana's largest nonprofit, community-owned regional health system, Lafayette General Health is committed to restoring, maintaining, and improving health in the communities it serves. For more information, visit LafayetteGeneral.com. Our guest today is Adam Daigle, who has served as business editor of the Acadiana Advocate since August 2018. Adam previously worked for the Tulsa World in Oklahoma for 12 years. He's a native of Gonzales, Louisiana, and a graduate of Southeastern in journalism. Adam served as sports editor and later executive editor of the Lion's Roar, Southeastern's student newspaper. Adam and his wife, Shelley, have four children, and they're members of Asbury Methodist Church in Lafayette. I want to express my deep appreciation for Adam and the Advocate for the ongoing support they have given Discover Lafayette and the weekly articles Adam publishes, which highlights each of our guests. We look forward to the second annual Acadiana Economic Summit to take place on January 15, 2020, where the Advocate will welcome local business leaders who will forecast Acadiana's business climate and what is in store for us. Adam joins us today to look back over 2019 and share business highlights and news of interest. Adam, welcome to Discover Lafayette.
Glad to be here.
You're my hero. I'm telling you, we're in the studio with Jason Sikora, and I don't think there are anyone else besides you and Jason that have done more to help my podcast. Thank you so much.
Glad to do
Thank you both for what you do. I guess I'm feeling grateful because the year's ending, and you know, even with economic changes, Lafayette and Acadiana seems to be holding on pretty much with all the changes afoot.
Yes, so. It's been a pretty good year.
Yeah. So if I can, before we start on business news, can you talk about living in Lafayette and Acadiana? How's it been moving from Oklahoma? I know you're a Louisiana native, but Lafayette's got to be a culture shock after Oklahoma.
Yes, very much so. Today it's 40 degrees, which isn't too bad.
You know, yesterday.
Everybody else is bundled up and complain about the weather like, hey, it's above freezing.
I know. Yesterday was so hot, and here
we
are.
Yeah. So my wife's a native of Oklahoma, and she constantly asks me, am I wearing my heavy jacket in Louisiana? It's probably not. But, you know, there'll be snow every once a year here or whatever. We had snow pretty regularly up there. But we're getting it. We're building a house in Karen Crow. We're really excited about
that.
Great,
yeah.
And my kids are doing well in school. So that's very good.
Yeah. So you worked in Tulsa for quite a while. And I know that Judy Terzodas, the publisher of The Advocate, reached out to you when you joined The Acadiana Advocate. You had worked with Judy or knew her in the past. Is that right?
No, I didn't.
I just
my wife actually saw the job listing for and said,
apply
for this.
I had the impression Judy knew you. She spoke so highly of you when we first spoke. That's great. That's an even better accreditation.
So, you know, I've always kind of looked at kind of getting back home for a job because, you know, I'm watching my nieces and nephews grow up on Facebook, and my mom has four siblings, so everyone's getting older. Every time I went back to Oklahoma, it's kind of like, you know, I'm going to have to come back at some point for somebody's funeral or birthday. I'm missing birthdays. So.
Right.
And then, you know, the things that The Advocate is doing, they're one of the few papers, maybe one of two or three, that's growing. So that made it very attractive. So,
And they really have grown, my goodness, since you joined in 2018.
And we still are growing. You know, ad revenue, circulation, it's still an upward climb. We're just in this little pocket of a place where people love their newspaper.
That's, I know, attributed to the owner James George's and his family and the staff. I mean, you guys are just conquering the world here.
You know, I think I tell people, that we had the our folks in New Orleans at the Picayune who, when they shed jobs or people left or whatever, and we got some really talented people from the Advertiser and what have you. It's as if we've assembled this all-star team, really, of just the best from all three properties, and we've got great local ownership.
Right.
I mean, that's huge now.
Right, right. So. I know it's a pleasure working with them, and I'm just looking forward to really great things, because as you said, the business model has changed so much for publishers.
Correct.
And I know I met you through, I know you write for the hard edition, but you also put out a daily email blast that includes the biggest news of the day as far as business goes.
Yeah, and this has gotten very, very popular. When we expanded our staff with Claire Taylor and a couple of folks, the impetus for that was the success of the business newsletter. So there's a definite need, a desire for local news here.
Do you think we're going to have our printed paper? Is that something that's going to stay with us?
Oh, God, yes.
I love it. I love getting my paper.
I love it. I can put my phone on the charger. You know, and I look at a screen enough times a day. I don't want to look at another screen for a little while.
Right. Do you do puzzles?
I don't.
You don't.
I read. I read lots, but anything that I skim all the headlines and I'll read as much as I can until my kids want me to go get a bowl of cereal.
Right.
Or something.
Right. I love the news, especially the business news, but I have to confess I'm a Sudoku addict and Jumble and, you know, cryptograph or whatever it is, so giving away secrets here. Why don't we jump into 2019? Tell me about the year in business. It seems like the last half of the year we've had a lot of big business news, but do you want to kind of go over some of the highlights of what you've covered and what you've seen as far as Acadiana business?
We have had a lot of big note and big headlines. Waiter's probably the biggest thing that's dominated our headlines this year. They went public first part of the year, I believe. And, then after a while, the bad headlines started coming. They bought acquired Bite Squad out of Minneapolis. And it seemed like, that gave them a lot of debt. And their stocks started falling. And then they come out with this new agreement for restaurant owners where they have to pay a certain fee if you're making so much per year. And a lot of people didn't like that. So things just kind of started tumbling. Then they had a pretty big layoff recently. So things are not good for them right now. But, if they just maybe need to shift gears. And I think, and it's just a lot of this is all my opinion, I think that's such a busy lane to be in right now, restaurant delivery. I hear mom chatter about other kind of people kind of making a push in this market to kind of, I don't know if to per se challenge them, but kind of get here and see if they can elbow their way into the market. And everything I've read about restaurant delivery, the profit margins are not great. It's not a money-making operation. So it's just kind of one of those things. It's just difficult. There's a guy in Ville Platte. We wrote about him. His name is Brett McAwee. He is starting his own kind of delivery service. I mean, it sounds like just what
Chris Moe did
a couple years ago. But he's kind of focusing on rural areas. He's up in Ville Platte. Opelousas, Eunice.
Which kind of makes sense with all the, things kinda, are far apart. I mean, it's a long way to get to
and
a restaurant.
He's got a bunch of different things going on, so he's not, totally relying on this. And his model was different. His model is, I believe the customer pays like the whole delivery fee, instead of
the
shared
restaurant,
or whatever.
Yeah.
So I need to check on him and see what he's doing. So.
There's stuff going on in Ville Platte. I've been hearing, Monique Belay was on the show and talking about what they do with the Acadiana Planning Commission. And Ville Platte just seems to have some good leadership there. And
the university is, Jeff Stewart's class has reached out to them and tried to find ways to kind of lift up their economy.
Yeah.
it's a fascinating story.
I want to hear
I'm
more
not
about
sure
that.
If everyone thinks it's like me, but it's just fascinating.
Yeah, a small town like that and very rural, but yet I think there's some good banks and, you know, there's potential there.
Yeah, they were listed as the second poorest town in America, which I didn't know.
America.
Yeah. I always heard Lake Providence would be the poorest. But, that's
at the top of the list.
Yeah. Dr. Stewart's class is doing some interesting work.
That's great. Yeah. So let's, we'll say prayers for Wader. And I don't know if Chris Moe is still involved with them. Didn't he move on?
Like an advisory role. Yeah. He's joined forces with a fella in Baton Rouge for like a medical startup company.
Right.
The premise is kind of similar.
Well, hopefully he can give them advice and maybe learn from what happened with Wader. So, well, what else is going on? You know, I've been hearing a lot about some mergers and acquisitions with some of our biggest homegrown
institutions. I think the Iberia Bank merger, while it doesn't, there's nothing on the surface that sounds people should be nervous, but I think that just kind of went over like a lead balloon with people because people love Iberia Bank.
They do.
They've got, Iberia has a third of the market share here. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a local bank and it's done real well the last few years. They've been a high performing bank. So I think when that happened, people were like, that's my bank, and they're doing real well. What happened? Mm-hmm. You know, they got the big tower downtown. I think there's a lot of people wondering, was scared that they'd leave that or whatever.
They've been giving assurances that the market will not feel this
complete assurance.
Impact.
And you know, a lot of times with mergers, it's like one really solid company is buying out kind of a struggler. Like with Hancock Whitney and Mid-South. Mid-South was struggling. They had a lot of issues. So they reached out and kind of, you know, bottom out. But this is kind of a two high-performing banking institutions.
I suppose it's like the publishing business, though. They're I know how astute the Iberia Bank board is, and I'm assuming, is it First Horizon?
First Horizon?
Yeah. I'm assuming they're the same. They're looking ahead to stay competitive and grow nationally. So it's going to be fun to watch. But I know I was a little nervous until I started hearing,
I think a lot of people are nervous.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, it's going to be interesting to see when they take down the Iberia Bank sign off the big building and put up a First Horizon, you know, the big building downtown, what people...
Right.
Do people get mad about that or what? That's what I'm kind of curious about.
Well, we're Iberia Bank people, too. So.
Yeah, I am, too.
Yeah. Well, tell me about Lafayette General, too. What is your perception of that with the Ochsner?
It's kind of a similar situation. You got two pretty solid companies. You know, healthcare is such a big deal in Lafayette Parish. Big employer, big industry. That's one of the growing industries right now. So I think also some nervousness there, but... they're going to inject, Ochsner's going to inject a lot of money here. So I think that's going to be, for the most part, a solid deal. I think there's got to be some duplication somewhere. There's going to be some kind of rough patches for an undetermined amount of people. But I think that'd be, for the overall, that's going to be a positive for this area.
What I like about it is the infusion of cash will help grow the residency program.
Correct.
I know that's going to bring, 40 or more residents every year, and that's just going to help our community. Because once they're here, hopefully they'll stay. That typically is what happens.
I heard David Callicott say once that we don't have a lot of... family physicians, kind of folks get here and they go to a bigger market or what have you. So that could be interesting as well.
Right. What other news were you wanting to discuss? I know you've got a list of
My only other item would be the overall the economy is still marching forward. Our real estate sales are going to break another record this year. A lot of it's happening here, but the activity is hot around outside of Lafayette Parish, St. Landry and Iberia. So we're gonna take a deep dive on that on a Sunday section here in a couple of weeks. Job growth has been steady. Retail sales are gonna be not quite the high water mark from 2014, but it's gonna be probably right below that.
And that's incredible because that was the last year before the oil and gas
market.
That's
right.
Tanked.
That's when things went down.
Yeah.
So we're creeping back up. People
Isn't
are spending
something?
Money.
Yeah.
You can totally see it. And same thing, and airport traffic was about to make an all-time high. Same thing. 2014 was a high traffic year. After that, Unemployment rate is down 4.3. It was at 7.0 in June of 2016. Mm-hmm. So yeah, all the signs are kind of there. But you know, we're marching forward as an economy, yeah. and you know, we had no big splash of like a huge employer in the area, but one step at a time, I guess.
Well, I know we're here in the Light Center and CGI is across the street. I know they're trying to double their staff.
Yes.
There are a
mm-hmm.
lot of businesses, especially tech and healthcare, I guess,
tech
are the two biggies.
Mm-hmm.
But it's exciting to listen to that because that's just going to help attract, you know, I want to get on your article about out-migration, but that's going to attract people to come to college here or if they've already graduated to move mm-hmm. here. So mm-hmm. I've been watching that with interest because they're kind of quiet and steady.
Yep. And that's the age group you want to target because mm-hmm. that is the parenting age. You can get kids here. Those kids move to Texas, like I have my story, and they're 27, 28, and they have kids. Well,
yeah.
And kind of.
Once they start school.
Kind of cemented there.
Right, right.
So.
You want to talk about that article? I know that I thought it was wonderfully done. You did some in-depth reporting based on statistics mm-hmm. about out-migration. And it's not just the Lafayette area. You were talking
statewide. Gary Wagner at UL got the data for me. He's really a great resource. You know, for years Louisiana's lost people in general, and particularly mm-hmm. to Texas, just because there's jobs, there's huge mm-hmm. companies in Houston, the Metroplex. You know, and then right after Katrina, it exploded. People moving from Louisiana mm-hmm. to Texas, and then after that, it tapered off, and we had a couple positive net migrations years, but in 2016 and 2017, it's escalating again, particularly with the recently college graduates, 24 and under, mm-hmm. and then that 25 to 34 age group, like I said, like that age group where they're just having kids, mm-hmm. and they're getting kids in school and getting settled. So it's really it was really eye-opening, and the people I talked to were like, one girl said, you know, I got what I needed out of Louisiana, which is kind of sobering. You're like, mm-hmm. what?
It's sad.
It's a great place.
Yeah, it is a great place.
But, you know, there's opportunities out there. And not only that, it's just, you know, the flip side of that is all these people moving out. The net migration, we're not getting the people moving in. So then our net migration was right among the southeastern states. It was right just above Mississippi, mm-hmm. a negative 53 or per 10,000, whatever. It was an interesting story to write. It took me a long time. But hopefully I'm curious to see what happens next. If mm-hmm. anyone, politician or anyone kind of takes that story and like, this is what we need to do. Let's use this as a wake up call to whatever. There's no quick fix, but, I do believe Gary had it said it best. Like the best way to do that is invest in early education.
Mm-hmm. And we've been hearing that.
Yeah.
For years. I know Cable and Parr and other groups uh-huh. are pushing that. And, you know, Adam, the way I'm looking at it, it seems like Lafayette, you were just talking about some of the positive numbers and things that are happening. You know, we're holding our own, even though the oil and gas industry is really struggling mm-hmm. in our state. But it's other areas of the state that are really struggling.
It's North Louisiana. It's the rural
Central.
Areas.
Uh-huh.
I think that if I'd have broken down, if we had the data to break down the migration mm-hmm. by parish, I think it would have been just, you know, the metros would have been gaining,
and the
rural areas are just losing hand over fist.
Yeah. This podcast has given me an opportunity to have a variety of guests on that share things I don't even think they're going to be coming up with. And one of them was our U.S. attorney, David Joseph, and mm-hmm. he was talking about, Jason, you might remember, the crime rates in North Louisiana, like Shreveport, mm-hmm. and then even in Alexandria, whereas here, we just don't have it. We're not plagued by the same things, and it's got to go back to some of the, you know, unemployment, lack of opportunities, and so as a state, it drags everybody down. But mm-hmm. you know, hopefully, with like you're saying, some government leadership, we can turn that around.
Yeah, and we've had stories out of our Capitol Bureau how a lot of the parishes and particularly the towns are kind of going broke mm-hmm. because they have no young people moving. They get out of high school, they're leaving. So their population is getting older. Businesses are leaving. What's happening is, you know, these towns basically have their only source of income is the water department. And They can't. Oh my gosh. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Their water bills are the only source of income. No. And then they've got these aging, you know, water systems, mm-hmm. and they can't afford to wow. do it. So it's sad.
Yeah. I saw that about Clinton. It's a small town right outside of Baton Rouge, mm-hmm. you're probably mm-hmm. familiar with, that they're on the brink of bankruptcy.
Yes.
But the water, oh my yeah. goodness, that's the only.
Bogalusa is real bad.
Yeah.
There's a little town inside of Natchitoches called Clarence. Same thing. There's no income. There's no resources for mm-hmm. income but the water department. And it's a poor town. So what do you do?
Right. Move to Lafayette.
Somewhere, yeah. Move to a metro area.
I know. Well, let's talk about the upcoming summit. I know that it's going to be on January 15th, 2020. And where is it going to be held, please?
It'll be at the Acadiana Center for the Arts.
That's going to be beautiful. So this is your second annual summit. And I know you've got some well-educated, knowledgeable people joining you, if you want to mention, name drop some.
We've got, we've got Philip May with Entergy. We've got Flo Meadows, commercial realtor here. She's a great resource. Mm-hmm. Art Price with Badger Oil, Gary Wagner with UL, Troy Wayman with One Acadiana, John Bordelon with Home Bank, Richard Zuschlag with Acadian Ambulance, Dr. Savoy with UL, and Natalie Harder with SLCC. I think we had two people that we had to that couldn't make it, so we're trying to fill those mm-hmm. spots. Oh, Corey Jack with One Acadiana. Yeah. Good, real good guy.
That's right after the national championship game. So I know you wanted to wait a couple of days.
Yes, we had a schedule for the 14th, and like, wait a minute, that could be happening. Well, you know, could be the morning after.
Let's be real.
Yes.
You know.
So. I want to make sure you get everyone a good opportunity to attend this thing.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a really diverse group of people. You've got bankers, commercial realtors. I can't wait to hear Gary Wagner. I think he's just
he's great. He's a reporter's dream because he totally doesn't slant it.
Right.
He answers to no one. He's like, mm-hmm. here is the information. Here is the data. Boom, boom, boom.
I've heard that.
Yep.
Like some people are like, no, that's not quite the way to say it, but I've heard Jeff Stewart and others say he nails this, it.
Here's
and
the truth.
He's not trying to do anything other than share these are the statistics.
Yes, yes. So, I mean, like I said, reporter's dream. Mm-hmm. Just tell me how it is.
Now, are you going to be moderating? Or are you one of the...
Kristen Askelson and I will do that.
Yeah. So what are you expecting them? Like, what type of news are you hoping to hear?
Well, I think last year we got some pretty good news. It was more kind of a overall kind of picture to description kind of thing. Everyone kind of brings their own, you know, their own background industries to the table. Mm-hmm. But it's good to let people know how every aspect of the economy is doing. And very, very knowledgeable, very info-packed mm-hmm. session.
I do remember from last year's summit, you had Will Labar from CGI.
Correct. I'm
trying to think of the ones. Natalie Harder. And a couple others really honed in on the importance of early childhood education.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah,
if we don't invest, mm-hmm. and it's going to it takes a generation to see mm-hmm. the actual results. But I know that several of your panelists, you know, were very concise in their thoughts that we have to invest mm-hmm. in public education. And this in particular
There's
is a
no
community,
way around it.
Yeah, this is a community that's got a high level of private school kids, mm-hmm. and we've got. The majority, though, of our populace they're in the public school system.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, that's potential workforce for a company mm-hmm. looking to locate here.
Yeah, and quality of life, the whole thing.
Exactly. There's no way around it.
But I found the speakers, that's what I'm looking forward to it this year. The speakers were not just giving the standard business upbeat. They were really talking about their love of our community mm-hmm. and why they're here.
Mm-hmm. So. That makes it worthwhile.
Yeah.
Just, you know, sugarcoat everything and just everything's great. Like, give me something I can take home with me and work on.
Let's make a difference.
Yeah.
So, you know, I meant to ask you about restaurants. I've kind of looked in the news, the business news, and I don't know if we need to talk about particular restaurants, but we've had some close that were sad, and then mm-hmm. we're seeing things open. But what is your take on that with our local home-owned, you know, homegrown restaurants and what's happening?
It's kind of a tough market. You'll always tell people like, food is so big here. If you're gonna open up a restaurant, it better be pretty doggone good.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple that are opening it. A lot of it depends on location. I think the downtown ones are doing real well, and downtown's kind of where it's at right about now. So it's a tough nut if you're not backed, or if you're not experienced in it, I guess. Mm-hmm. You want to just kind of like, hey, I like to cook, I'm going to open a restaurant, man.
It's tough.
You're in a rude awakening.
But then that downtown market has got, you know, the new Tula's Tacos.
I know,
Gus Resende's group.
I know.
They are really kicking
it. They make good food, and these guys are good. I mean,
and they work hard.
Gus has been it for a long time. Mm-hmm. Colin Cormier is involved. He's very good. So that's kind of what it takes.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw on Facebook, and maybe it was other social media, but when Chili's, it was probably one of your articles, when Chili's announced that they were building or buying a building and renovating $2 million or something. Mm-hmm. Some of the local restaurateurs, I remember Michelle Ezel and others, it was a positive thing about, wow, if there's that much money, but we need to be promoting local.
Oh, yes.
Locally owned businesses, yes. Because there are so many that have invested over and over in our community.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so I thought it was interesting that people love Chili's, but it's also a call to support your locally owned restaurants.
That's right.
Because we go to school, their kids go to school with your kids, mm-hmm. they go to church, they give back to our community.
And that's right.
People really were, I think it was that shop local, eat local, really kind of came to the forefront with that Chili's announcement.
Those local people are the ones who give back to their community or make a difference in their community. Whereas Chili's is headquartered in the Metroplex, mm-hmm. and you know
they do make a good blooming onion though. Not that I eat that a lot, but it's delicious. I know. Is there anything else you wanted to bring up?
I think my only other story of the year was the Walmart closing on the north side.
Yes, thank you. Yeah.
That was a lot of jobs and just a big retail outlet for people on that side of town. Interesting to see what's going to happen in that building. I don't know. I've heard, you know, there's a little chatter here and there. I reached out to a guy at Sterling who's handling properties. Just a little bit of stuff, but Walmart plays it close to the vest. So, but it's interesting to see the spinoff of that, because I wonder if we're writing about the business open at Northgate Mall and kind of the things going to happen there. I wonder if that, you know, is kind of related. Like if people on the north side, like, you know, let's do this. Let's try to replace that, and let's have something here for this side of town.
I read that there are three new businesses opening in Northgate, which is incredible. It's great news.
Yes.
Because all malls are struggling nationally.
I know, exactly. So they got people opening up. Mm-hmm. But it's the exciting part about it is it's startups, it's local people, mm-hmm. it's minority, local entrepreneurs. So, you know, the Northgate Mall is old. It can use some little repairs here and there, but it's a great place. It's still a great place to be for people. Mm-hmm. And
that location is unbeatable for people that live in Brobridge or Opelousas
or the highway.
Downtown. Yeah, it's a great location. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of revitalizing it and bringing it back up. But these new businesses will do that.
There's a little, like a candle store, fragrance store. You probably know what I'm talking about.
Home Sweet Home.
Yes.
They have the best Lamborghini selection. Yes.
I think they've been there forever and ever, and people love it.
Mm-hmm. And they're staying put.
Yeah, I think they're a good anchor there. Mm-hmm. Tamika Babineau just opened like an event hall. Mm-hmm. So stuff like that's kind of good to get people in, who are not just say looking for a pair of shoes or whatever.
Right.
I told Tamika, somebody's a little coffee shop at Wi-Fi.
They need that, huh?
Then you'll get more people coming in. And that's where you'll see, like, they'll keep coming in, like, hey, that dress in the window is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I've seen it walk by 2 or 3 times. I'm going to stop and buy it.
Yeah. I worked with Upper Lafayette Economic Development for almost 10 years. And when the news of Walmart hit, it was kind of a gut reaction that I had and others, because I know the people that live in that area, they really do depend on the Walmarts to be able to get affordable clothing as well as food. And, you know, Super One is still there and you've got other stores. But for so many of our local neighbors, they don't have transportation. They are riding the bus, or not a lot of that crowd, I think, has taken Uber. I may be wrong, but it was really a deep gut reaction to a lot of people when Walmart closed. Mm-hmm. But it was not personal. It was a matter of profit.
No.
You know,
I still see like little comments like it was because of crime, which is just silly. That, you know, I even wrote the story about a firm that analyzes retail activity, study that a lot of the people who shop there also shopped in Karen Crow.
Oh,
and
yeah.
A lot of people who shopped in Karen Crow also shopped there. So they were really like kind of, you know, cannibalizing themselves.
Mm-hmm. So, I think that's what happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
The bigger store, the newer store in Karen Crow kind of took some of that northern Lafayette Parish, southern St. Landry Parish crowd. Mm-hmm. But it was just, it's poignant because business is business, but people, you know, it's people need resources. So maybe there'll be some things you'll be reporting on in 2020. Have some positive news about that. So. Mm-hmm. Well, we're here with Jason Sikora, and I saw you writing notes. Now, you're a transplant also, but you've been here a while.
Well, that's one of my notes, is you were talking about in-migration, and I'm glad you brought that up, because, yeah, I'm not from here. I've only been here, what, I think 9 years? Same thing with my wife. So there are job opportunities for people like myself and for everybody else. You just have to look around. And I like that you said tech, because that's why I came here, was for tech. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the medical field is blowing up. So thank you for bringing that up. And then also young employees. We were 28 employees in January, and now we're at 40. And our youngest employee is 19 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
And he's so good on the phone, and he's so good on computers. Like, there's opportunities. So call us up if you need a tech job.
Good to know.
So when you talked about the summit, and then... Jan, you talked, you did a little name dropping as well, but a lot of these people have been on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So please go back on discoverlafayette.net and listen to those podcasts, because they're fascinating. All right, The Advocate, the email blast is awesome. I subscribe to it and look at it every day. I recommend that everybody do it.
It's free.
It is free. So what's the website, and how do people get the email blast?
Oh, you have to go to our website at theadvocate.com, and then you'll go down to the bottom. I'm trying to remember here. There's a thing for newsletters, and you click on that, and it'll give you options for all the newsletters that are available. And then you click on Cadiana Business.
Got you. So, okay.
Oh, we can subscribe to others, too?
Yes.
Oh,
we've got lots of others.
Together.
Sports.
Yeah.
For
like
politics.
Baton Rouge and New Orleans.
Yes. Same kind of format.
And Discover Lafayette is featured every Monday in that email blast.
And Thursday.
Monday and Thursday.
I know.
Where can people get more information about the summit?
We have a website. Let me get there to you real quick here. It is Acadiana. I should have had this...
pulled up at it.
Yeah.
No worries.
You might have to edit this.
People need to purchase tickets, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Is that how that works?
Yes. It's going to be...
Because I know, I'm certain that there's people listening to this that are going to be interested in this. That
yes.
Didn't know about it.
TheAdvocate.com/Acadiana/Economic Outlook.
Perfect.
How much are tickets?
$20 plus fees.
Okay.
We sold it out last year pretty quickly, so...
I know.
Oh, okay.
We're excited.
All right, so everybody listening, make sure to go to... Open up a new tab in your browser right now and go to theadvocate.com and bookmark that, because you're going to want to look at that every single day. It's a great source of news for Acadiana. Finally, because this is called Discover Lafayette and it's all about Lafayette and Acadiana in general, what's your favorite part about living in Lafayette?
The favorite part is probably the food. I enjoy having my my crawfish at pretty much anywhere. My my boudin at pretty much every gas station. So and I don't have
gas
to
stations.
And people don't have to ask me how to spell my last name.
That's a good point. I had a really hard time with last names when I first moved here.
Mm-hmm. The Daigle in Oklahoma?
No.
They didn't get it?
I did not. I had to spell it for a lot of people.
Oh, really?
So I had to stop myself. I did it so much, I stopped myself when I get here. I'm like, that's D. Oh, wait a minute. I'm in Louisiana.
Right. There's only one way to spell Daigle.
Everybody knows. I tell everybody. Everybody knows a Daigle. I call it.
That's true.
My joke is, I'm going to talk about this a little bit. My joke is getting Daigled. They say, well, you related to so-and-so Daigle? I know so-and-so Daigle. John Bro, U.S. Senator,
mm-hmm.
Daigled me once. You're like, Daigled. Where are you from? My wife's a Daigle. Where are you from? So, yes.
That's funny.
I'm going to do that after the podcast is over, because we have a Daigle that works here, so.
Yeah. John Bro's wife's a Daigle from Church Point. Hmm. Everybody knows a Daigle. You know, there's a Daigle that married to Jenny Finch, the big softball player.
Oh, okay.
Casey Daigle pitched the majors from Vinton.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you know your family history?
I just tell people that's like the rich Daigles with John Bro's wife, and Casey Daigle's the athletic Daigles, you know, and then there's us.
The other Daigles.
The other Daigles. Yeah. Non-athletic, non-rich.
Have you ever done your family history to see?
I have an uncle who's really done it.
He's into
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, he's done it real well. Traced it from France to Nova Scotia.
That's what I was wondering.
Back to France. Like, they went back to their home country.
They didn't get deported.
And then they all came here from France.
Wow.
So it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Wow. Well, so that last question is kind of one of my go-tos, is because it is called Discover Lafayette. And if I may follow up, it is one of the most friendly places in the entire country, if not the entire world.
Yes.
We always make the top, like, two list of friendliest places to live. Every one of my neighbors I love, everybody we've had in here, and just kind of going at the end of the year here, every guest that we've had in here has been so friendly and so just open with everything. So, Adam, thank you for being here. And
you're
Jan,
welcome.
Thank you again for letting me ask some questions and be part of this.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Jason. It's been a great year. We're taking this, what's today? The 17th of December.
Yep.
So this podcast will come out very early January. It'll be the new year. So before we close, Adam, I want to call out people I'm grateful for at The Advocate, Judy Terzotis, Fred Kambach, and Kyle Whitfield, besides you, Adam Daigle, have really been supportive. And we're doing this podcast, Discover Lafayette, and a new one, Nourish Your Health.
Yes.
And just getting that one launched. But it's uphill lifting, and having The Advocate support my efforts means a lot. So thank you so much. Yeah. And thank you for joining us. I want to wish everybody that's listening a happy new year by the time you hear this. And I want to thank Adam Daigle, business editor of the Acadiana Advocate, for joining us. And again, you can go to the Advocate's website, theadvocate.com.
/Acadiana.
/Acadiana, and sign up not only for their daily Monday through Friday e-news blast, business news that goes out at 10 every morning, but you can sign up for the January 15th business summit that'll be held at the Acadiana Center for the Arts. So on behalf of Discover Lafayette and our sponsors, we've got Raider Solutions, Iberia Bank, and Lafayette General. Thank you all. This is Jan Swift.